स्मार्ट कास्ट आप सुन रहे हैं HD स्मार्ट कास्ट और ये है फीवर FM प्रोडक्शन।
हाय, माय नेम इज स्तुति घोष एंड दिस इज मेरा वाला ग्रीफ, अ पॉडकास्ट फॉर एनीवन डीलिंग विद लॉस। आई रिसेंटली लॉस्ट समवन वेरी क्लोज टू मी। आई एम अ रेडियो प्रेजेंटर, अ फिल्म क्रिटिक, basically someone who's never short of words. And yet when it came to expressing myself, to talk about death, loss and grief, kuch samajh hi nahi aa raha tha, shabd hi nahi the. In this podcast, every week, I speak to someone who has gone through this pain. Kehte hai na, jis pe beetti hai, wo samajh sakta hai. और चाहे कहीं हम सबको लगे कि बहुत पर्सनल है मेरा वाला ग्रीफ, येट इट्स यूनिवर्सल। इट्स समथिंग एवरीवन गोज थ्रू एंड ट्राइज टू डील विद इन देयर ओन वे। थ्रू दीज कॉन्वर्सेशंस वी ट्राई एंड डीकोड ग्रीफ एंड व्हाट डज इट रियली मीन टू लिव आफ्टर द लॉस ऑफ अ लव्ड वन।
Hi guys, I am Stuti and this is Mera Wala Grief, a podcast for anyone dealing with loss. Once we accept the finality ki the person we love the most is no longer with us and there's nothing that we can do to change that fact, the one question that we keep thinking about is if life will ever become नॉर्मल अगेन फॉर अस, अगर हम एक बार फिर बिना गिल्ट के खुश हो पाएंगे या नहीं, क्या हम सच में उनके बगैर जी पाएंगे। इट्स समथिंग दैट आई हैव बीन टैकलिंग विद माय सेल्फ। आई लॉस्ट माय फादर अ कपल ऑफ मंथ्स बैक एंड दिस पॉडकास्ट वी टॉक टू पीपल हु ट्रस्ट अस विद देयर स्टोरी, विद देयर ग्रीफ एंड ओपन अप। आज एक बहुत स्पेशल गेस्ट है, Hansal Mehta. He's an award-winning filmmaker, writer, director. His films have been loved by critics, masses alike. But today he's here as a son talking about the loss of his father. Hansal ji, thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
Thank you, Stuti.
I know mushkil hota hai. Aapke liye bhi, I think we lost our fathers around the same time. Have you been able to make sense of it अभी तक?
नहीं, अभी भी कई बार ऐसा लगता है जैसे शायद फोन आ जाएगा उनका। So you know, I keep hearing his voice because my father used to live in Pune. So you know, अक्सर ऐसा लगता है कि still in Pune, he's not gone anywhere, he's in Pune और उनका फोन आ जाएगा। And our I mean, I keep rewinding some of our last conversations, you know, जहाँ he had called me and मैं मतलब you know he was 81, he was very fit, but he was becoming more and more childlike, and you know very ziddy. So I had to reprimand him. One of my last on phone was, I said, you know, just take it easy, please. You know, don't behave like a child. He said, why are you getting upset with me? And I mean, that remains that, you know, that the last, perhaps one of the last conversations we had was where I was perhaps a bit upset. I sounded a bit upset to him. Mm. And then the next I met him was at the hospital where he was complaining about the air conditioning in my room, saying it's too cold. So... You know, I haven't switched on the AC ever since, almost. And you keep thinking that, you know, maybe he's going to call. And, you know, there's certain decisions you're taking in life where you want your parent to be around. Like, you know, buying a new car. So I just bought a new car and he was very keen on seeing it. But he came to Bombay and was admitted to the hospital, could not see my car. And I bought him a new car some months back. I sold it. It was too painful. The memory of having that car around was very painful. So I sort of just surrendered the car.
I have not met him. I remember seeing your post that you had written saying, Papa, I always thought you'll outlive me. And I've seen his pictures and he's such a charming man, so good looking and genuinely comes across as extremely gentle. Abhi, jitna aapne mujhe bola, you're also trying to cope, right? You don't know, like there are memories, there are a car that you couldn't bear looking at, which you sold, you can't switch on the AC. With people who are grieving, generally aaspaas ke log bolte hai na ki haan, matlab ek grieving period, ek mourning period hota hai, 13 din, 40 din, aur phir you have no choice but to move on. You have to work. That's what life is. Yehi jeevan mein hota hai. You've started work. How is it? Because from my own experience, grief comes in waves. It hits you suddenly, bang in the middle of a work day. How has it been for you?
It's been difficult. I mean, the pandemic adds to it. You see, I have a very old relationship. Bahut purana rishta hai grief ke saath. Since many years, I've been losing near ones, dear ones. Mm-hmm. So, one of the biggest losses I ever had was my mother when I lost her in 2012. It was just before my life took a new turn. Post Shahid. So, I've always lived with that. And I've tried to sort of compensate for it by including my father in anything that was happening in my life. For the National Awards, I took him to Delhi. I ensured that, he was there, he was comfortable, and that we could celebrate that moment together. Mm-hmm. I did not want to leave any happiness uncelebrated, any happiness that was to be celebrated without him. That I had done enough of that without my mother. I was trying to compensate for that. Ab to compensate karne ka bhi koi mauka nahi mil raha. Because there's nobody you can compensate it with. I am living in the reality that I am the oldest in the family now. But I think it's a cycle, I'm fortunate, many of us are fortunate that we are, filmmakers, that we are getting to tell stories. Through the stories somewhere, I'm able to sort of, not mend, but I'm able to, work on my broken heart somewhere through those stories, through the lives that we are representing in our stories, through the grief that we are representing. I'm able to sort of share my grief with my characters. I'm thankful for this make-believe world that we create, the illusion that we live in through movie making. If it was not there, it would have been very difficult. Bahut mushkil hota. The pandemic has made it even more difficult because, I'm not a big believer in rituals and, rasam rivaz and all that. I don't really follow that. But I see the importance of it in such a time where at least the entire family congregates.
And
wo ho nahi pa raha tha, where the whole family congregates, jo puja 13 din ki chalti hai, where everybody participates, and that participation is a way of grieving. It's a way of slowly, collectively saying goodbye to your loved ones. We were not able to do that fully. Brother who was so close to my father, he lives in Poland. So he has not been able to come. He could not visit. My sister came in. So the saving grace was that I could spend the kind of time I haven't spent in years with my sister and the rest of my extended family, my nephews, my nieces.
You made a very important point, kyunki ek to hota hai tackling grief, tackling the loss of a loved one, but ye jo baat aapne boli, especially this period, this year, when even the way we say goodbye to our loved ones, we've not been able to do it the way we want to. Aur tab aapko wo significant samajh mein aata hai ki kyun logon ke aana zaruri hai, why the वो 13 दिन का चाहे वो पीरियड सिंबॉलिकली हो, बट इट्स कंफर्टिंग एंड इट्स अ कुशन इन इट्स ओन वे, विच सो मेनी पीपल आई नो हैव हैड अ टेरिबल टाइम दिस ईयर डीलिंग विद.
Just on the brighter side, I mean, Stuti, I must say, you know, this kind of lonely time, usme, social media, you know, which we have the much maligned social media. Yeah. It's been a real,
it's a revelation how it's come on. Yeah.
It's very soothing. And, you know, so many people with whom I've had differences, I've had arguments. Yeah. At your time of grief, I've had messages from all of them. I've had calls, so many messages on social media, and I was very moved by that. That ultimately, you know, in the wake of all the things that are going on around us, humanity still exists and humanity wins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that you know, is, the going away of a loved one also reminds you of the existence and the importance of humanity.
That's very true. Just to take you back a little, just the way you said that you lost your mother at a time when, you know, you wish that she was alive to see how your life had changed and to witness that success, and she would have been so happy. Losing a parent is tough. You know, that's when you experienced it for the first time. Kya abhi ka ye jo grief hai after you lost your father? Is it different? Did that prepare you for this, or it hits differently because nothing...
Nothing prepares you. Nothing prepares you for this kind of loss. I honestly felt my father would outlive me. But he was such a fighter, you know. And he had far more ailments than my mother. My mother had no ailments. Mm. She was diagnosed with cancer, and within 3 days of chemotherapy, she passed away. So she had no time to really ail. You know, she was always on the go. My father, on the other hand, has been dealing with ailments since he was 40. But he has fought. He's such a fighter. And that there was this amazing, you know, spirit of self-preservation. Mm-hmm. So he left me with that. I mean, I decided that, you know, at least I, if not outlive my father, I should, you know, try to at least live life the way he did. You know, mm-hmm. he lived with a very positive spirit towards life. He never, after my mother passed away, we were very worried about him, that, you know, mm-hmm. he would grieve and he would not survive. You know, we were so dependent on my mother. It was on the eve of the 50th anniversary that mm-hmm. she passed away. Mm-hmm. So, and his grief, we could not even see his grief. It was very heartbreaking. But he picked up the pieces. And he retired from active working only in September 2020. When he was unwell, I had taken him to the hospital and he said, you know, my contract expires on the 29th of September. I said, why are you still working?
Mm.
He said, well, if I don't work, I'll die. Mm. You know, so that spirit to keep... to not hang your boots, to not, and that I think kept him going. He did not have any kind of, you know, dementia, nor did he have any memory loss. You know, mental health was very, very strong. And I mean, he lived his life fully. He had a girlfriend, he had a heartbreak, had all the things that we experienced as young people. He was going through that kind of life all over again. Mm-hmm. And I used to love seeing that. I mean, you know, the day he came to Bombay, he was not feeling too well, but he wanted to drive down to Gujarat. So he came and I was in Lonavala. So he called me and said, you know, he asked me to, he opened my bar and said, what whiskey should I drink? So I said, just take anything, whichever you want. He said, no, you choose one. So he had a drink the night before he left. So I think, you know, one thing is always there, that I believe that I should be celebrating his life.
Yeah.
You know, he left me with that. You know, even after my mother passed away, I mean, he lived life like a celebration. That every day that you have, I think, you know, death is very important. It teaches you a lesson about living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it leaves behind a lot of living people, and with a lesson about life and its importance and its you know, the need to be more generous, more giving, more loving in your while you're breathing, you know, otherwise it'll be too late. So I mean, that is what it has left me with. You know, there is grief, but there is also this amazing realization that now every moment that I have, I must celebrate, I must enjoy, I must give as much as possible, whatever I can.
You know, parents, chahe aap chote ho ya bade ho jaye, for them you are always kids, and they always say, "Jab hum chale jayenge, tab tum samjhoge ya tab tum karoge." And there's so many things that even I do now that probably I argued with him then, but I do it unquestioningly now, you know, because I just feel like probably he's watching over me and he'll probably be happy because I'm doing what he wants me to do. You have your own kids, you're a father, you have your family. When you have your own little island, tab kya dard kam hota hai parent?
Nahin, mushkil hota hai. In fact, it's very tough because, you know, especially, you know, India is one place where, you know, the family is so closely interlinked. So my son Jay was very close to my father. Like he called him Papa. So, you know, he grew up treating my father as his father. You know, he still doesn't call me Dad. You know, that, so he's felt as orphaned as I did when he lost my father. So his grief, then my daughters were very close to him. You know, my younger daughter, who's 12, Rihanna, used to play with him a lot. She used to, so while we were busy in the rigmarole of our lives, running around, when he would visit, Rihanna would spend, make it a point to spend time with him. Kimaya, my older daughter, the two girls would spend a lot of time with him. So the day he passed away, I mean, the most difficult thing for me was to break the news to the girls. And, you know, it was their first experience of death firsthand, you know. And my older daughter insisted on coming to the cremation, on, you know, grieving. But the it has been difficult. For them, it has been difficult. The processing of the grief has been very, very tough. I mean, that breaks my heart even more, you know, to live with the grief around you and to know that, well, they have to go through this. It is inevitable. It's a cycle that all of us will have to, you know, I cannot relieve them of that grief. I cannot, I can only be around to help them process it. But they will process it in their own way, you know, whether it's Jay, whether it's, and I think that is the key to, you know, processing, to having family around. I mean, yes, they help you deal with it, but at the same time, you help each other.
You know, like you, a lot of people are stuck where you have to be strong for others. Hena, like here you said, you were more worried about how you break the news. You realize you're the eldest in the family. You have responsibilities. And yet, you have your pain. You have lost your father. You want to grieve in your own way. People, you're a storyteller. Art, a therapeutic tarike se, it helps you cope with pain also. But have you managed to feel him? Like people say, oh, you know, they'll come in your dreams, or you feel them. Or what is the story that you have told yourself that is keeping you together?
I'm a bit realistic about this.
Is it because you've seen it? Is it because that's the person you are, or you've seen so much pain that now you can rationalize?
I try to rationalize this pain, you know, and also death. So life and death, you know, it's the eternal question that you deal with, you know. And I mean, I've always dealt with it through my stories. There's most of my stories have dealt with people, you know, losing their lives. And leaving behind what we call, you know, their impressions, what we call the soul, their imprint on the universe. And I think we live with that imprint. And I see it philosophically that, you know, he has left his imprint within each of us. And I know that, you know, nothing is going to bring him back. And whether I see him in my dreams or whether I hear his voice and whether my daughters look up in the skies and look at the stars, I know that, you know, this is only, there are only two permanent things, birth and death.
Yeah.
You know, so the impermanence of life and the permanence of death, it's something that all of us have to go through. Yeah. And that's what makes life what it is. And that's what makes life so important, you know, that span that you live, so important. So that's what I said, his spirit, his zest for life is what he has left behind. That imprint sort of keeps you going. When I started working almost a week after he passed away, and within 15, 20 days, I've been shooting for my film, preparing and shooting for my film. And I think that is the best therapy. Immersing yourself in a story. I've been fortunate, immersing yourself in a story, surrounding yourself with people who have emotional depth. That keeps you going. It's a very fearful moment. That moment of reckoning, that small moment where you know somebody calls you and says he's no more. So that moment between that time and the time you sort of say goodbye to the person, you know, at the cremation ground, that moment is it's horrifying. It's a horrifying moment, and it is also a very defining moment. I think I've learned to live with it, and I also have understood that, you know, some years later, it's going to be me. And, you know, it's all of us. You know, this is our journey. And this is our journey. And I think it's what death teaches you is the importance of the entire journey that you call life.
You know, you're speaking like a philosopher, like a saint. And there's a lot of depth in what you're saying. But main puchungi ki, do you ever feel burdened that you're the man of the family, head of the family, a man, you can't cry, you can't break down, you can't soften?
No.
Has that also pushed you to...
No. I don't think that way. Matlab, I am the softest in the family. My sister is perhaps the strongest. And so I break down very easily. And I don't... I try not to hide my feelings, you know. I'm expressive, I cry, I grieve, I behave like a kid, and it's okay. It's okay to be that way. I've learned, my parents have taught me that. That's what they've left me with. I don't hold back. I don't carry that weight, and luckily we have grown up that way. Our family has never pressured us. You know, my parents have never pressured us into being unnecessarily duty bound. Unnecessarily, burdened by conventional familial duties. They've always said that, you know, do what you feel is right at that moment. Doesn't matter if the world doesn't accept it. So, that has given, it's a life lesson that has continued. So, I've seen my father crying so often. When he broke down after my mother passed away, we both cried together. And you see, my relationship with my father was not, it's a very difficult, with my mother, it was very expressive. With my father, it was, I was forced to be expressive because she was gone. You know, my siblings had a more, tactile and a more expressive relationship with my father. I had a slight...
He was slightly scared of him.
Not scared of him. There was a barrier. We used to talk a lot. But we used to get onto each other's nerves also often.
Yeah. Did the nature of the relationship change after your mother left? Did you then try?
I tried. But I felt it was unnatural. I said, you know, itne saalon ke baad, suddenly to be a different person is not something I can do, nor can he do. It will make us uncomfortable. So we continued being the way we were with each other. I mean, we cared. You know, I was the first one every time he was unwell or anything, but I could not be expressive.
Yeah.
And but I think he got it. I think he got it. You know, he over the last 2 years was very expressive when he was constantly being grateful to me. I mean, and that broke my heart. That you know, I used to keep saying that, you know, you don't have to be grateful for anything. I mean, I have to be grateful that you know, you've given us this life, and you've given us this amazing ability to make such difficult choices. And you've given us that freedom to make these choices. Why are you grateful to me? You know, so I mean, material things, you know, so when I gave him the car, I remember he could not sleep and he kept coming. He said, you know, I don't deserve it. I said, what do you mean you don't deserve it? You know, I said, you know, this is all, I mean, I wish I'd given it to you earlier when mom was there, that both of you could have gone out in it.
Yeah.
And I could not. And, you know, that I will regret that, but at least let me not regret it right now. You know, help me do that. I mean, I remember it was so tough. And after that, when he took the car back, he traveled all over Gujarat to show off the car to all his friends. It was his biggest ambition in life to own a Mercedes Benz.
Yeah.
And so I did not have that much money, but in December, there was an intuition. I felt that, you know, I don't know how much time there's, but I don't know why that thought came. And I, with the help of a friend, I borrowed some money. I picked up the car and I took him to the showroom and, you know, gifted him the vehicle. And he was very shaken up. He said, you know, you should have it. You deserve it. I said, no, it's not for me. It's your car. And it took him 2-3 days to process that. But I'm glad at least I could do that much. And he just kept calling me saying, I'm grateful. I said, you know, if you call me again and say this, I will stop talking to you. I don't want to speak to you. But you know, so somewhere he knew that I cared, but I could not say it. I could not say. He knew I cared. He knew I loved him. But I never told him in that many words. With my mother, I said it all the time. I used to sleep on her lap. I used to, you know, till 2 days before she passed away, I slept on her lap. So I had that relationship with my mother. As a kid also, I used to communicate through her. So it became all the more difficult because I was closest geographically to my father. And I had to suddenly, it was a very difficult transition that I had to deal with my dad without her. But I think we worked on it. I think my wife helped somewhere, you know, she sort of made up in many ways for that, for my mother's loss by being the, so he would not call me, he would call her. You know, and he would and then he would call the house help and say, I know he's busy, but just find out if he's okay. So, you know, you do the small things. And
parents have a way of,
And I mean, you know, after he passed away, I kept getting calls from all these people. And all the entire week before he passed away, he had called all his childhood friends. People he had not called for years. He had called all of them. And everybody said, oh, I spoke to him last week only. He was totally fine. I said, he called you? He says, yeah, and he took the number of that person that he used to play cricket with as a kid. So he called all those people. I mean, hundreds of people called me, said he spoke to us last week. So somewhere, I think he was sort of, you know.
Yeah, the premonition.
The premonition in his life, he was taking his life back to where it began.
Yeah.
You know, towards the end, you sort of go back where it began. So I was seeing that. And it was just to see that so many people, he had moved, touched so many people, so many lives, you know, was beautiful. I mean, it was, he just left behind a beautiful life. And that beautiful life is what, as children, we have, it's a gift that my parents have given.
Yeah.
And I don't remember my parent being mean or bad to anyone. He was not a rich man. He was not a, you know, we were very, very middle class family. But, you know, I remember this line from Death of a Salesman. I used to watch Death of a Salesman, and I used to be reminded many times of my father. That, you know, when we were kids, he was a born salesman. He would be always selling something. He would go and he would come home and in front of us always be very optimistic. And, you know, I've got this big order today and this has happened, that has happened. And I would know later that, you know, he's just trying to make us happy.
Yeah.
But the reality is that he's struggling. And, and I used to feel very bitter about it. I never took up a job in my life because I said, I don't want to be like my dad. Mm-hmm. You know, you grow up saying that, you know, I don't want to be like him.
And then you want to be, yeah. Yeah.
And then when he goes and you say, I wish I had a reflection of what he was. You know, and that there's a line in Death of a Salesman, where his wife tells the sons that, you know, he was a good man. And, you know, and that's what matters. I mean, he was a good man.
Have you managed to balance guilt or regret? Do you have any?
Regrets, I mean, your life is it's a basket. It's a big wardrobe full of regrets. It's a house full of regrets. So, but I've learned to live with that, you know. As a filmmaker, you learn to live with regret. Because every film you make, you regret that maybe this could have been better. So, thoda regret, you know, regret se rishta ek filmmaker ka bahut gehra hota hai. But yeah, then you live with the guilt that maybe I could have been more nice to him. I could have why did I argue with him just 3 days before he passed away? You know, small things like that. It remains with you. I mean, I keep his last, like, you know, 24 hours before he passed away, when we met him at the hospital, we sat with him. He told me this. He said, you know, why have you brought me to the hospital? You don't have to save me every time. I said, I have no one to save you.
Yeah.
You know, he says, let me go now. I said, no, you don't have to. And then we started chatting. He said, okay, then fix your AC and all that. And we started chatting about that. And that voice still runs in my head. Yeah. That, you know, you think maybe he could have been in this hospital. Because, you know, a few days later, Dilip Kumar Saab was admitted to Leelavati Hospital with the same condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's called pleural effusion. So he was with exactly the same condition, and he went back home. So you sort of feel that, Leelavati was just next to my house. Maybe Dr. Parker could have saved him. You know, you have all these...
Yeah, you want to go back and you retrace your steps, which is
but I don't dwell that much. I try to live life as much as possible. But, you know, I realized one thing after my mother passed away. No achievement. I mean, I got the National Award a year and a half later after she passed away. And that was all that she, when she passed away, you know, when she was conscious, I had gone to Lucknow for half a day, and she had told my siblings that, you know, I'm really worried about Hansal. And, you know, all these years he's been struggling and nothing's really working for him. And a year and a half later, I mean, when I won, I found it so, I was so empty when I went up to get that award. You know, all I wanted was to see her.
Yeah, and for her to see this, because nobody really celebrates our successes
I wanted that one moment. And, you know, after I won it, my father said, you know, mommy must be happy. And that has always been, I mean, those are the things, you know, those moments where you want to celebrate. I mean, things are going well right now for me. And I wish I was there. You know, I have enough money in my account for the first time in my life. And I wish they were around for me to share it with them. I mean, it doesn't matter. The money doesn't matter much to me. They've spent their entire life, their entire savings trying to bring up their children. And I mean, when I could do something for them, they're not around. And that's the circle of life. And then that's the circle of regret you always live with.
Yeah. I'll just end with a question. It might come across as strange, but so many people I know is period me who've lost both their parents. Do you still remember your mother? और अब आप ये दोनों ग्रीफ, एक जो नया है और एक जिसके साथ रहने की आदत हो गई थी, कैसे नेगोशिएट करते?
माय मदर is irreplaceable. I still feel her presence all around me. I sleep with a picture next to me. It's accompanied now by my father's picture. But no, it's irreplaceable, you know, the loss of your parents. I mean, and I could see that. You see, I experience it from my children. Like when I see my younger daughter, one day, my wife came to me saying that she's, you know, sobbing away. She's crying a lot. I said, why? She said, you know, she's worried about you. She's worried about losing you now. So I went to her and I said, you know, I'm right here. I'm okay. I'm, you know, you see, I exercise. I do this. I'm trying to look after myself. So she said, no, but what if you go away? And I mean, I saw my own grief through her and, you know, her worry. And I mean, there's nothing I can do to assure her that, you know, I'm going to live for the next 100 years. I can't tell her that because she knows that it's so inevitable. You know, today I'm talking to you, today I'm alive, and one day I'm going to be ashes.
No, we you know, we all understand how ephemeral all of this is, and how we have very little control on what is happening around us. But thank you so much, Hansalji, for opening up and sharing your thoughts and your pain with all of us. From what I can make out, you have found a rhythm, and your art has helped you in it. To live with this pain and somehow carry it within you and turn it to your strength. Those who are listening to us, who are watching this, anything you would want to tell them from your experience that might help them cope with their grief?
I mean, it's very difficult to tell, you know, grief, man. You always say words are a very poor way of consoling. I mean, you know, I can see you still grieving, Stuti. And I don't know how to even know what to say. I mean, you know, I think the biggest way to comfort each other is to talk to each other. To, you know that humanity exists in each of us and we are there for each other. Even if you're a stranger, if you're grieving, you know, I mean, we must find ways to reach out to you. We must find ways to talk to each other. You know, if you आपका गम जो है आप उन्हीं से बांट सकते हो जो आपके करीब है. So you know, don't you know, in this material life, distance yourself from your closed ones.
True. I think you're a very wise man, and lots of little gems that you've shared today. Thank you so much. Thank you for trusting us with this.
Thank you, Stuti. Thank you for, you know, making my heart lighter.
Thank you. And your parents, I know nobody really is as happy to see us succeed as our parents do, but they would know and they'd be very proud of you.
Thank you, Stuti. God bless. Bye.
Thank you.
You can listen to us on hdsmartcast.com and on other leading audio platforms. Always remember, there's no hurry. It's okay to grieve. So take your time. In case you want to stay in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at @RJSTUTEE or on Instagram at @StutiGhosh. To watch the video of this episode, you can check out the HT Smartcast and Fever FM YouTube channels. We are also present on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. For more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. Aur suno naye nazariye se.
आप सुन रहे हैं HD Smartcast और ये था Fever FM Production. HD Smartcast.